Alrighty, welcome back in hour number two of the radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. A lot of mayhem going on in the NFL right now. A lot of money getting thrown around. And we'll get out to the guest line right now. Welcome in an eight-time Pro Bowler, a member of the NFL 2010s All-Decade Team. And he's a three-time first-team All-Pro, played for the Arizona Cardinals, played for the Minnesota Vikings, played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That is a bunch in the podcasting world, here for Odyssey, along with Andrew Filippone. Also does a podcast with his cousin in Bryant McFadden. And that, of course, is Patrick Peterson. Pat, appreciate the time as always. How you been, my man?
Man, thanks for having me, man. Always good to be on with you guys.
All righty, let me start you off with the Steelers. Give me your reaction when you found out over the weekend that they traded a second-round pick, also going to give a five-year, $150 million deal to DK Metcalf with him coming over to the Steelers.
Yeah, that was a big-time pickup for the Steelers just because now they're, you know, although they don't have a quarterback, you know, their quarterback situation kind of, you know, settled just yet, but they're giving their quarterback some security that they have at least two receivers that can win their one-on-one matchups. You know, right now it's just going to come down to if we can keep both of those receivers on the same page and the quarterback on the same page and having a level head for the most part, because we know both of those receivers have a history of being hotheads. But for the most part, I love what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing right now, addressing the receiver room now that they have another guy that is a bona fide, you know, 50-50 ball catcher winner on the outside. Now they just have to go out there and find their quarterback that they feel that can get those guys the ball.
See, I love the way that you mentioned up the teammate component of this with DK Metcalf and George Pickens. I like what the Steelers did. I still think I need to see more out of George Pickens before I feel comfortable giving him a long-term deal, but he is on the final year of his contract, and now you have someone else coming onto your turf and getting paid. I know DK is a heck of a talent, but how do you think George Pickens is kind of feeling the last 24 to 48 hours?
Probably, you know, just being there, being on, you know, being in that Steelers locker room. I know George is feeling some type of way, but at the end of the day, you know, he has to go out there and earn it. You know, I feel like DK Metcalf, you know, being a guy who I went up against, you know, spending some time in Arizona, like he's a guy who's earned, you know, the right to be, you know, considered as a, you know, a top 10, top five receiver in this league, a guy that can win on a consistent basis, a guy who has been, you know, seen as a modern day receiver as far as his production and what he is in the locker room. Now we all know that he get in his, you know, scrumples, you know, on the field with other, you know, with opposing teams. But for the most part, we know what we're going to get from DK Metcalf if the ball is, you know, thrown in his facility. You know, so I feel like George has a lot to still prove on the table to show the Steelers and other NFL teams that he's worthy of a, you know, north of a $30 million, $25 million, you know, annually, you know, contract deal. Because at the end of the day, you know, you covered this game for a long time. I've been in this game for a long time. It's a lot that comes with, you know, being a top-tier paid receiver. And I just feel like there are some areas that George still need to clean up for him to be considered one of those guys.
For you, when you were his teammate, and you know that he has an incredible amount of talent, but he could sometimes be his own worst enemy, where you were just like, hey, young fella, you know, you gotta grow up here. You know, you don't got to freak out every time you don't get the ball, even though it's coming from a good place. Because, man, that guy, one moment, could be the happiest guy in the world, and then the next moment, he could be the most miserable, and it's really a detriment to the team at times.
Man, you know, honestly, what I take that back to is, you know, this NIL stuff, man, the way these guys are coming into the league. You know, I could just remember when I came into the league that guys was just always hungry or didn't want to screw up their, you know, their reputation for the next deal. You know, now with, you know, the modern day NFL, you have every guy want to pretty much have their own brand. You have Instagram, you have, you know, guys pretty much driving their own narrative. But at the end of the day, these guys who are willing to give you these contracts may not feel a certain way or may not be walking the same path that you're walking, that you think that's representing your brand in the right way. You know what I mean? So I just feel like, you know, just the modern day is kind of like, you know, blindsiding a lot of guys on the real goal or the real motive, what's in front of them, because so much more that is at hand for them, that's accessible for them is kind of like, you know, is not giving them the right direction or the right perspective on what is really out there for them.
Patrick Peterson here with us. You can listen to him, All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. Also, you can check him out via Odyssey on First and Pod, along with Andrew Filippone, two great podcasts that he does host. So for the Steelers at the quarterback position, Pat P., we know Justin Fields is now off to the Jets. Sam Darnold, he landed in Seattle today. Rodgers is still out there. I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point that Rodgers is going to be the one throwing the football to DK Metcalf and George Pickens. How about yourself, and what would you think about that?
Yeah, I don't see that being, you know, a bad idea, just because the history that, you know, Coach Tomlin love with, you know, with guys who have a pedigree, guys who have history in this game, that can kind of he feel that can help propel his team to the next level. And I don't really see any clear signs that they're going to, you know, re-sign Justin Fields. I mean, not Justin Fields. Russell Wilson. I don't see any indications of that happening. So I can see them going out either getting a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, or possibly even making a trade up and trying to find a quarterback, because there's not many other quarterbacks out there that I feel that will keep the Pittsburgh Steelers in contention. I think it's just going to come down to Rodgers on how much he's going to be paid. But I can see that being, you know, a nice marriage, you know, for a short stint, you know, with him being in Pittsburgh. But other than Rodgers, I don't know who the Pittsburgh Steelers would go after. I think they would probably have to settle for Russell Wilson if no one ended up signing him in the next couple hours.
Patrick Peterson here with us. So I know you played in Minnesota for a little bit. Sam Darnold had a nice season. Now they're going to hand the baton over in all likelihood to J.J. McCarthy, with Sam winding up with the Seattle Seahawks. You think that's the right move, even though Sam was winning some games this year? I know it didn't end the right way for the Vikings, so let's say Sam Darnold walk.
Well, you know, the Minnesota Vikings were in a very, very interesting, you know, situation. You know, obviously they didn't, you know, they wanted Sam to go there and be successful, but I can almost guarantee they wasn't planning on Sam to have the season that he was having.
Sure.
This year. You know what I mean? So for the most part, they was already banking on, I won't necessarily say a rebuilding stage, but a refocus on their quarterback room. And I just don't feel like they was really comfortable. I don't know what Seattle gave him. I know he just signed maybe a couple hours ago, but he got a lucrative deal. Matter of fact, I think it was 3-year, $110 million.
Yeah, 3-year, $110 million, so, $55 million guaranteed.
Yeah, so 55 guaranteed. I just don't feel like with the Minnesota Vikings drafting a quarterback last year, you know, spending the first round draft pick on a quarterback last year, they was not worthy, going to be willing to give up, you know, those X amount of dollars to a Sam Darnold, who they already wasn't banking on to have them in the position that they was in already. So I can see the direction that the Minnesota Vikings are going in. I don't know what the situation is with Daniel Jones. Maybe that's another quarterback who you can have step in there for maybe, you know, the first quarter of the season to still give J.J. McCarthy some time to get, you know, the understanding of the play calling, the understanding of the scheduling and things like that, so you can really hand him over the baton. But it's going to be very interesting to see how the Minnesota Vikings handle their room, because I still don't think it's time to hand J.J. McCarthy the keys, although that they drafted him last year. I'm just always I'm very advocate of giving these young quarterbacks an opportunity to learn their way before you just throw them into the fire.
Now, we saw Aaron Rodgers go from Green Bay to the Jets. We also saw Brett Favre go from Green Bay to the Jets. You know, Brett Favre then wound up in Minnesota. Could you see maybe Rodgers do that, where it could be in the best interest of the Vikings, where you delay JJ another year and you kind of throw a bone to Aaron Rodgers for one final season?
I think, honestly, it's just going to come down to what Aaron is willing to accept, you know, at the end of the day. You know, we all know what his pedigree is, but we also saw what the last two seasons was as far as his performance. You know, I still think he's worthy of being on someone's team, but it also comes with baggage. So therefore, like, teams going to have to be understanding of what comes with Aaron Rodgers. What are you willing to pay Aaron Rodgers? What Aaron Rodgers is willing to take? Because it's a lot that's going to come with a, you know, 41, soon to be 42-year-old quarterback, you know, into your franchise. And if you really believe that he's going to be the guy that puts you over the, you know, the pedestal for that one or two seasons, yeah, then pull the plug. But if you don't feel like he's going to be the guy that can put you over, you know, over the hump, or if you have enough pieces around him, or if you are even willing to swallow, you know, whatever that he's willing to take for those 2 years to put your team over the top, that's going to come down to, you know, ownership and, you know, GM making that decision on if they think he's the right guy.
Now, I got to ask you about Myles Garrett, right? Said he wanted to go chase a championship, and then the Browns said, we're not trading you. Then Cleveland gives him a new deal over the weekend, $40 million a year and $123.5 million in guaranteed. Like, the fan in me wants to say, ugh, like, you lied to us. You said you want to go chase a championship, but I get it when a player takes his money and stays with the current team that he's on, even though no one looks at the Browns as a championship contender anytime soon. As a player, how did you kind of process the whole Myles Garrett situation?
You know, as a fan now and as a player then, Myles Garrett didn't lie to us. You know, at the end of the day, that's how he felt in that moment. And then now the team hearing that, hearing his frustration, hearing that he wants to go elsewhere, the only way that they can make it better is with dollar signs, with making him the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the game, you know, ever. You know what I mean? So being a former first-round draft pick, not a former first pick, but, like, for me, when I was drafted by the Arizona Cardinals, I wanted to give them everything that I wanted. You know what I mean? I wanted to win. I wanted to be that player to help them win their first championship. Not saying that the Cleveland Browns are going to ever be in that position right now, but they got 5 years to do it. You know what I mean? So I can kind of understand where Miles was coming from when he requested the trade, because the team wasn't in a very good situation. Then what the team did was make it right. All right, cool. If we're not in a position to make it better right now, we'll give you some insight on what our future plans are. And on top of that, we're going to make you the highest paid non-quarterback, you know, ever. Who's to say if Myles Garrett was to get traded that the Philadelphia Eagles or the Detroit Lions or the Kansas City Chiefs, whoever were those teams that are contenders in his mind, was going to give him that type of deal? I don't see none of them doing that. So at the end of the day, Myles Garrett didn't lie to us. The team just made it right. You know what I mean? He played his frustrations, which were he wanted to be on a contender. He tired of losing, this, that, and the other. He wanted to be on a contender. Trade me there. Team was like, no, we're not doing that. Another way that we can make this better, by making the highest paid non-quarterback.
Before we let you run, Patrick Peterson, defensive backs-wise, I saw Jordan Lewis lands with the Jaguars. Carlton Davis going to the Patriots. They're going to team him up with Christian Gonzalez. When you look at Darius Slay, he winds up in Pittsburgh. Any reactions on any of these cornerback moves using your defensive back mind?
I like the Darius Slay. You know, like I said early on in the show, you know, Coach Tomlin is one of those guys who love those veteran players, those savvy guys who's been in position to not only win, but who are in the position to help the younger generation. I think Darius Slay is going to be a very, very a key component to Joey Porter as he continues to be, you know, a young shutdown cornerback in his league, to continue to, you know, help him learn his way, study the game, and be a professional along the way. So I really, really love that that signing by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Carlton Davis I think that's a security blanket, and now they have a guy who they can really rely on that can go out and, you know, cover not only number one receiver but top-tier cornerbacks, and also a guy that can also help the young fella.
Christian Gonzalez, yeah.
Yeah, Christian Gonzalez along the way as well, because he showed some flashes in his first 2 years in the NFL. So, you know, I love my DBs. I love to see, you know, not only seeing those guys shine, but seeing those guys getting paid. And it's going to be another fun season to see these, not only these young guys, but these older guys who continue to, you know, pave their way towards Canton, and also their way out of the league, how they finish up their career.
The last time you joined us, it was during the season, and you said, hey, you know, you're still in shape, you're still ready to go if someone wanted to give you a call. Obviously, you didn't return to the gridiron. What's the dealio? You coming back next year, or are you officially done?
I'm not officially done just yet. I have some, you know, some special news coming out pretty soon.
Ooh.
But for the most part, I don't look forward to playing football. I have stayed in, you know, in the best shape that I can if that phone was to ring. But for the most part, this is a young man's game. You know, I want to just sit back and continue to relax, take my girls to dance practice, cheer practice as I'm doing right now. I'm enjoying that, and also analyze and continue to talking about the game. You know, being away from the game for a year now, I really found a real joy in that. So hopefully I got enough reps that someone wanted to take a shot on your boy.
Well, All Things Covered podcast, also First in Pod as well. It seems like what you're saying to me is you're enjoying the golfing life and playing Baccarat, right? That's what you're telling me, Pat?
Exactly. Join playing some Baccarat, join waking up, cooking the girls breakfast, taking them to school. We just came off of spring break, enjoying the golf life. Now that the weather's starting to get better, going to get back out there on the lake, start catching some stripers, you know, things like that. So I enjoy not having a schedule to have to attend to.
Well, we're looking forward to whatever that announcement is. Pat P., appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Patrick Peterson joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We have a blockbuster deal in the NFL, according to Ian Rappaport. The Texans are finalizing a trade of five-time Pro Bowl left tackle Laremy Tunsil to the, get the gas mask out, Washington Commanders. Ho, 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 ho. Now, I haven't seen the return yet, what the picks are that they are giving up. But I like that move for the Commanders. You're getting Laremy Tunsil to protect Jaden Daniels. And you have a team in the Commanders that are a fun destination now with Deebo Samuel, Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson. You got some talent there. So the full trade terms here are the Commanders get Laremy Tunsil on a 2025 fourth-round pick. The Texans get a third-round pick, a seventh-round pick, a 2026 second-round pick, and a 2026 fourth-round pick. Here's my question. What direction are the Texans moving in? This is a great move. Everyone's going to be like, yeah, Commanders. Look at the Commanders. Look at what they've been able to do the last year and a half. It's been unbelievable. But the Texans went from the outhouse to, I don't want to say the penthouse, but a four-star hotel, right? They were in a terrible spot for years. They get C.J. Stroud, right? They get Will Anderson Jr. You hire D'Amico Ryans, bam! You're in the postseason. Bam! You win a playoff game, and then you lose to the Baltimore Ravens. And then this past year, they were good. They were solid. They didn't take that next step to asserting themselves as a contender. They won a playoff game where Justin Herbert, the only passes he could complete were to the Houston Texans. And the Invitational, the Texans Invitational for the playoffs, wild card weekend, Saturday 4:30 is when they won that game. And then they lost in the next round, where their defense was really good in Danielle Hunter and also in Will Anderson Jr. They were after Patrick Mahomes. They were making him sweat. But on the offensive side of the ball, it was very bland. And I know Tank Dell unfortunately got hurt again, which is just so terrible to see. You had Nico Collins in and out of the lineup, but he proved his worth this year. He's a heck of a player. Stephon Diggs is probably not going to return. You know, they just made the move for Christian Kirk as well. Joe Mixon had a solid season. But trading Laremy Tunsil, I'm curious what the next plan is. Now, is this getting out on a player a year or two early rather than a year or two late, potentially? And you gave up a lot to get Laremy Tunsil at the time. It was worth it. Very good for the Texans. But now it's like, all right, what direction are you heading into? And I think the Texans are just going to kind of be stuck on wild card round, divisional round, wild card round, divisional round. They have the quarterback. They have a great star pass rusher. But what are they going to do to take that next step? This is not a next step move in trading Laremy Tunsil. The Commanders are taking a next step move, not the Texans. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network, coming to mom back right after these short messages. So this legal tampering window that opened today at 12, and the new league year starts on Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, we have a few of these deals that go down from the last previous few years where you'll see a player agrees with this team, and then it's, oh, no, he had a change of heart, and he goes somewhere else. So earlier this morning, and sometimes the reporting could just get wrong, it was reported that Milton Williams was going to be leaving the Eagles to go to the Carolina Panthers. And then I'm watching Ian Rappaport do an interview, and he's like, that's not 100% true. He goes, there's other teams that are in. I think he was on with McAfee. And then Milton Williams now lands with the New England Patriots. Well, in the last conversation I mentioned, because this is the way that it was reported, that Darius Slay is going to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? That was the reporting. He's signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk, our pal, he just put this article out there. It's a very quick article, but it explains the situation. Cornerback Darius Slay reportedly agreed to terms earlier today with the Steelers. He has not. Per a source with knowledge of the situation, there's no deal yet in place for Slay. Slay is indeed talking to the Steelers. The Eagles also might keep him. Slay remains under contract with the Eagles, but he has permission to speak to other teams to discuss a possible trade. Nothing's expected to be finalized until Wednesday. The 34-year-old Slay has spent 7 years with the Lions and 5 with the Eagles. Now, I'm very confused. Because not only is this the, oh, he's siding with the Steelers, he's not. I thought last week it was announced that Darius Slay was released by the Eagles. And now he's still under contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, if you recall, last year people thought Darius Slay was leaving the Eagles in the offseason. And he said, Big Dom, the legendary Big Dom, basically like threw him a cannoli and told him, you don't want to leave the organization. So is Big Dom maybe going over to Darius Slay's house and he's like, you know, you're not leaving. You're not leaving the Eagles. You know, he walks over with the jumpsuit, suit, the gabagool, the cannolis, and he basically convinces Darius Slay to stay. So something interesting is happening there again with history with Darius Slay and the Philadelphia Eagles. And remember, I guess Darius Slay was saying, this was last week, oh, if I'm no longer there, and when I'm no longer there, Reed Blankenship's the next guy up to lead, and then C.J. Gardner-Johnson got all caught up in his feelings. They did an autograph signing this weekend in Philadelphia. They had a bunch of players from the Eagles Super Bowl team, and whoever was doing the autograph signing is a genius, genius, genius. He put, or she put, Darius Slay next to C.J. Gardner-Johnson. After they just had this social media dust-up right next to each other at the autograph signing. So maybe Darius Big Play Slay will be taking his big play ability to Pittsburgh, or he may be staying in Philadelphia. Anyway, so far, with the new league year upon us, and a lot of trades going down, a lot of free agent signings getting agreed upon and then becoming official on Wednesday, what's the thing that stands out to you the most so far, whether it's a personal interest or just chit-chat around the league? I will start with Stuart Kovacs. What do you have?
Mine obviously is very personal. It has to do with my quarterback situation, and it is Geno Smith going to the Raiders as Sam Darnold goes to the Seahawks to replace Geno Smith. It's weird. I really do like the Geno Smith aspect for the Raiders. The Darnold one is fine. I guess my thing is, what's the end game? Like, you're getting rid of Metcalf, even though you didn't want to pay him, and you're getting rid of Geno to bring in Darnold. It kind of feels like a
I think it's a move. It's a younger stopgap. It's a younger Geno Smith.
That's true.
Where it's $55 million guaranteed. All right, Geno maybe had a wink, wink, hush, hush deal with Pete Carroll, or Pete said to Geno, because they worked together in Seattle, hey, I want to try to come get you, because reportedly the Seahawks offered him a new contract in the range of $40 to $45 million a year, which is the range that he reportedly wanted. Now, it could be the Seahawks say it's this, they leaked that. Geno said it wasn't exactly what they said. Who knows? But maybe there was something there with Pete Carroll and Geno Smith, a little tampering behind the scenes. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibilities if I was to put on my big boy thinking cap on. So maybe there was something there, but you're right. It's like, if the Seahawks are moving off of Geno Smith, you thought there would be a better name coming in. But the fact that Sam is younger, I think it's just, okay, a younger version, even though they're different players, of a Geno Smith, where if in a year or two you don't love Sam Darnold, if you have some Sam Darnold remorse, it's only $55 million guaranteed in a three-year deal so you can get out of it. But the Raiders, to me, I'm just curious then what they do with the 6th overall pick in the draft. And I feel like we could talk about Geno Smith. All right, you have an option there. It's better than what it was last year. It didn't really cost you a lot to go get him. There's familiarity with the coaching staff, but it's almost an incomplete grade from the Raiders' point, because I need to see them what they do with the 6th overall pick. Do they take a quarterback? Do they maybe get Ashton Jeanty? Do they take Mason Graham? Do they trade back? Do they take one of these edge rushers? I got to see what the Raiders do before I fully evaluate it. All right, Samter, what is your topic of conversation here?
I think the Raiders need to go Ty Warren. I mean, they don't have a tight end there in Vegas. So.
You could double up. You could go a little Brock Bowers and Tyler Warren. You know,
who's
the Patriots back in the day. Oh, I'm going to mention someone's name that's a little controversial because he's a POS. Well, he's dead anyway. But, you know, when they teamed up Aaron Hernandez, yuck, and Rob Gronkowski, he had a 1-2 punch right there at the tight end position. Now they have Michael Mayer. Now, Stu, they haven't traded him yet, but they basically told anyone that, well, listen, hey, we have Michael Mayer available, so therefore if someone wants to come get him, you know, just give us a call.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time. He barely played last year. I don't think he's going to be on the Raiders next year.
And Warren could be a possibility there, but you guys have so many needs. You know, you could double up at the tight end position, but you got a lot of needs.
So many needs, yeah.
A lot of needs with that Raiders team. They're like Swiss cheese, a lot of holes. All right, what's your one here, Samter?
Mine is one of a guy who didn't change teams. It was the Myles Garrett. That was the biggest news of the week last week and something that we've been talking about. And the fact that he stayed makes me think that the Browns convinced him, hey, we're building something here. Like,
are you that naive? You think the Browns convinced... Let me tell you something. Let's say you hated my guts, all right? And you wanted to leave my organization. You're like, this is a losing radio program. I'm used to dealing with hosts that win and go get awards and make headlines. Not that we don't do anything of that around here. We actually do quite a bunch of money. But whatever. Let's say you requested a trade. And then I said to you, you know what, Samter? I'm going to give you $40 million a year and guarantee $123 million. You could hate your life. You could know that the job sucks. And that you're nowhere close to winning, but someone offers you the most money to a non-quarterback, of course he's going to take it. They wined and dined him. The owner didn't even show up. They just, you know what? They didn't even wine and dine him. They just dropped a big old bag of cash on his front doorstep. And they said, Miles, you're really going to pass up on this. And he said, no.
To me, I look at it like, basically, any team that he would have gotten traded to would have given him a very similar contract. Maybe not quite as much.
I don't
know
if they could have done this, though. The Eagles, I don't know if they could have. The Chiefs definitely could have. The Bills couldn't have. Like, we're talking about these teams. We're talking about $40 million a year.
But anyone who would have made a deal for Myles Garrett would have had to make him the highest paid non-quarterback of all time. Whether it was $40 million a year or $38, he was getting his bag. So that to me, I get what you're saying, but... For him to want out, I don't think he's ever said he hates Cleveland.
No,
doesn't hate the coach.
He wanted to go win.
He just wants a team that's going to win. And so maybe they were able to say, hey, listen, dude, we're going to draft a quarterback at 2, right? We're bringing in XYZ. We're reshuffling our things. This nonsense that we've been going through, we're moving on from Deshaun Watson. We're not going to be dealing with that nonsense. Maybe he just realized, you know what, there's talent here and there's a future here. We just need to find the right quarterback. And, hey, we bring in Shador, we bring in Cam, whatever we're going to do. Kirk Cousins, they'd make a trade for whatever they do. I feel like it's more than just the money. He was going to get his bag anywhere he went.
To me, it's the money and it's only the money. If he was there for only 3 years and he was still a young, naive player, maybe. He's 29. and he's been in Cleveland since 2017. How many plans have they had in Cleveland that continue to just not work, not work, and not work? This is all about the cash. This was a cash grab if I've ever seen one. All righty. Mine is, what the heck is Aaron Rodgers going to do? Because I think Aaron Rodgers is going to join DK Metcalf and George Pickens with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I'm fascinated to see. You could basically, oh, I would like the Steelers on Hard Knocks. That would be fun. Tomlin, Rodgers, again with Rodgers, George Pickens, and DK Metcalf. Give me those personalities on Hard Knocks. I would sign up for that. I think Aaron Rodgers will be the next quarterback of the Steelers. But the Giants are still an option. Connor Hughes says, Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback the Giants want. They're waiting to find out if he wants them. Most league sources I touch base with believe, according to Connor Hughes, Rodgers headed to the Steelers, which would lead the Giants to Russell Wilson. The problem, dun, 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 dun. The Titans and others are interested in Wilson as well. This could be a good move by Tennessee. Think about this one. You want to hear a little game here? Rodgers goes to the Steelers. Joe Shane is desperate. You got to make some move or you got to trade up to the number one overall pick. All right, what's your next plan, your pivot plan? You can't get Rodgers, right? You couldn't get Stafford. You couldn't get Rodgers, let's just say. Oh, well, get Russell Wilson, right? He's waiting for us. And Tennessee goes, you know what, Russ? We want you to play quarterback because we really don't want to take a quarterback with the number one overall pick. Just possibility here. And then Tennessee is able to get more out of Joe Shane because Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are desperate, and then the Giants can move up to one. Something to monitor there. But Aaron Rodgers, I'm wondering where he's going to go, right? People will throw out Minnesota. I don't think that's happening. I think they're going to J.J. McCarthy. People throw out the Giants. I now believe, and I'd be surprised if Mike Tomlin doesn't get Aaron Rodgers to Pittsburgh. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll update some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We'll get to a news brief next. We'll also take your phone calls, 855-212-4227. Update time first. Here's Zach. Little Packers news for you. Nate Hobbs, the defensive back, is expected to go to Green Bay, according to Ari Miroff of My Sports Update, in a four-year, $48 million deal. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. A lot going on in the quarterback world. We found out, obviously, last week, Matthew Stafford agreed to a new deal, an altered deal. We still don't know the details of that with the LA Rams. You have Sam Darnold today, winded up in Seattle. Geno Smith over the weekend, getting traded to the Las Vegas Raiders. Justin Fields is going to be the next quarterback of the Jets. We'll see how long that does last, and that's some of the quarterback news that has transpired in the last 2 to 3 days, and it is expected, nothing confirmed, but expected that Aaron Rodgers, I'm feeling, is going to be the next quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go to Chris in California. He always has a thing or two to say about a certain quarterback. Chris, what's happening?
What's going on, Zach?
Nothing much. How you been? All right, good? What do you got?
I'm good. Dude, I see all these quarterbacks getting their second opportunity, their second stint, whatever the case may be.
Yes.
I will protest. I will boycott the NFL.
No, you won't.
If I see Pickett as a backup quarterback again next year. Gail Benson, I have three names for you. Dallas Goedert's on the market. Go get Jordan Addison and go get Kenny Pickett.
Wait, Jordan Addison to who?
To New Orleans.
But he's on the Vikings, still on his rookie deal. Why would they get rid of him?
Trade? Isn't that why you trade?
Yeah, but why would the Vikings want to trade right now? Like, if I'm the Vikings, you have Justin Jefferson and Addison together.
Draft picks, Todd?
Yeah, but I wouldn't care.
Draft picks?
But what are you getting, though, for Jordan Addison? You just use them in the first round. You're not getting a first-round pick back for him. I'm not making that trade. If I'm Minnesota.
You could trade Chris Olave, Cam Jordan. I mean, you got plenty of pieces that you can go ahead and trade for him.
For who, though?
Chemistry on this guy.
Oh, for you're saying for Addison, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So you want Kenny Pickett to go to the Saints is now what you're pushing?
That's what I'm pushing for, man. It's got to happen. I'm telling you.
But the problem is they just did that restructure with Derek Carr over the weekend.
I don't care. They gave Jalen Hurts a fat contract before Pickett came to Philly.
Yeah, but they gave Pickett that they made that move Derek with Pickett Carr to be a backup quarterback.
Derek Carr is a bum. all these bum quarterbacks that linger around.
No, he's like Derek Carr. I'm not a defender of Derek Carr, but he's like an average quarterback, Chris.
Okay, you're not looking to win a Super Bowl with an average quarterback.
But you're doing so with Kenny Pickett?
Yes, you will.
Chris, I think you just got to let this one go.
No, I'm. Why didn't the NFL let homeboy that just went to the Jets go, Justin Fields?
Okay, let him go. That's fine. There was more of a demand for Justin Fields than Kenny Pickett.
Well, I'm demanding Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm. You do that, you know? I heard you call Rich Eisen. We played that last week.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. At this point, I feel that there's a significant collusion going on.
Oh, collusion. There's no collusion against Kenny Pickett. Come on. He's not that good. And there's nothing against Kenny Pickett. I literally was texting with Kenny Pickett after the Super Bowl. I congratulated him on being a part of a Super Bowl winning team. But there's no collusion against Kenny Pickett. There's delusion with Chris in California. But there's no collusion. Can you imagine? Howie Roseman's on the line. No one trade for Kenny Pickett. If you do so, I'll make you pay. And the Saints literally just restructured this deal with Derek Carr. There's no collusion, Chris. There's just delusion with you. Man, how much does Kenny Pickett pay this guy? He calls every show on the network. Honestly, if you're a host on the network and you haven't got the Chris in California Kenny Pickett call, and it just gets nuttier, 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 nothing against Chris. Nice guy. Nice guy. But sometimes we just dig our heels in on one person, and you can't just admit that you're wrong. All right? Kenny Pickett may go get another opportunity one day, but this idea that he has to be a starting quarterback next year, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And yes, there's more upside for Justin Fields than there is Kenny Pickett in this league. There is. So that's just the reality of that. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Alrighty, let's go to Richard Sherman on the Richard Sherman podcast on the Geno Smith trade to the Raiders.
I know that there's a piece of the Seattle Seahawks fan base that feels like, oh, we can do so much better than Geno. No, I don't think you can. But especially in this landscape. Now, if you said, hey, we have an opportunity to get one of the top five quarterbacks in the National Football League, and we got to get rid of Geno to get the draft pick to go get them, I would be able to understand. I'd be able to get behind that.
So let's just do this. Go around the room. Geno Smith, if let's say the Seahawks needed to give him another $40 to $45 million a year for two more years, like a two-year extension, would you rather have an older Geno Smith or Sam Darnold on a $110.5 million deal that's $36.8 million a year? If my calculator is right. And it's only $55 million guaranteed. What would you rather do, Geno Smith or Sam Darnold if you're the Seahawks? Snoop?
I'd rather have Geno Smith.
Ooh, interesting. Samter?
Same.
I'd rather have Sam Darnold. He's going to be cheaper. And he's younger. And you're taking away anyway DK Metcalf and also Tyler Lockett. So let's just see what Sam can do. And maybe when you put more on Sam's plate, now in theory it won't work this way because there wasn't a lot on his plate then, and he wasn't good. Then they put, they gave him more to work with, I should say. In Minnesota, he ended up being, well, now there's more on his plate where you're getting paid. You also don't have that much to work with, so let's see what you could do. But Geno kind of reached his apex in Seattle. It wasn't going anywhere next. For Sam, I'm not thinking he's going to be a great quarterback, and there's this high ceiling for Sam Darnold, but I'd rather get younger at the quarterback position, and you're not paying him that much money. It's $55 million guaranteed, and then you get out of the deal. So I would rather have Sam Darnold than Geno Smith for this upcoming year if I'm the Seahawks, where they're heading towards. Stu is going to the Lakers game tonight. When you got these tickets, it was a birthday gift, correct, Amundo?
Yes, back in November.
So you were probably looking for... Ooh, look at that at the time. You didn't know Luka Doncic was going to be on the Lakers, and you thought LeBron James would probably be playing.
That was the idea.
How long is LeBron out for?
I think a couple weeks. One to two weeks.
1 to 2 weeks, they said. So he's out with this groin injury. So LeBron James not going to be playing tonight. You think you see Bronny tonight? Get a little Bronny action?
Saw him when they played the Knicks a few weeks ago in the Garden. It's not the same thing, but you never know.
It's kind of like a gloomy birthday present now.
I mean, if Luka didn't play, I'd say yes.
Yeah, imagine you get a load management night tonight with Luka.
I mean, nothing with chocolate.
Go to Junior's, get your slice of cheesecake. That's what I'd recommend then. Alrighty, there's a good soccer bar, by the way, close to the Barclays Center. I was there once with Sean Marash and Mike Biseglia going to a Nets game, and there was some soccer game on. The people were going nuts with whatever happening on the pitch. Here's LeBron James on his groin injury.
Not much concern. Obviously, we're going day to day, look at it each day, see if it gets better, and then, take the proper measurements and see what we need to do going forward.
And then you find out he's out 1 to 2 weeks. Finally, here's Angel Reese on the Unapologetically Angel podcast. Are players ready to strike in the WNBA?
We deserve more.
Of course.
Everybody.
I agree.
Everybody.
I agree with that.
But we got to get face the consequences.
What?
Damn, we got to get it on
y'all
the mud,
gotta
like,
do
y'all.
Something. Y'all got to do something.
I need to get in the meetings.
You need to come to the meetings.
I got
to
get in the meetings because I'm hearing, like, yeah, they don't give us, if y'all don't give us what we want, like, we sit out.
That's a possibility.
Let me tell you, if there's a strike in the W, it's going to be detrimental to that league. And I know we've seen a lot of strikes before and things like that, but there is some positive momentum for the WNBA women's basketball right now. And I'm sure the demands are going to be a little bit outrageous. You know, I don't think, right, the WNBA players are going to get paid what they want. Are they deserving of more? Sure. But how much more? And if you get delusional here in the asking price and you sit out, I think you're going to make a lot of people that are joining and watching, you're just going to have them jump and leave the bandwagon. Coming on back with some more football talk. It is the Zach Gelb Show.